And then I would like to thank my church, first and foremost, my pastor, Reverend Dr. Frederick M. Thompson, and his wife, his beautiful wife, who stands by his side, who's such a wonderful lady. And I thank you, because he is allowed to do what he is allowed to do for the people of this church and the people of God. Next, I would like to thank my awesome assistant pastor, Pastor Shauna M. Adams. I just want to say how awesome she is, how much she means to me. When I met her, when I saw her the first time that I came to Word of Life Christian Center, was in Sykesville, my first day. And from that day on, I looked at her as a woman of God. I saw her passion. I saw how much she does and loves God and does not, she doesn't apologize for it. She goes full force. And she has encouraged me in my walk by watching her, and I just want to thank you. I want to thank all the clergy, the pastors that are here today. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for just being who you are in the Lord. To my deacons, my deacons, my deacons, my deacons, you will always be my deacons. And I will always be your deaconess. And I thank you guys, because you guys always stand with me, always pray with me. I thank the body of this church. I thank you for everyone that has prayed for me, everyone who has encouraged me, who has helped me along the way. Last but not least is my husband, Michael, who's sitting in the back, who's been by my side for 25 years and has supported me throughout. And he supports me now, and he supports me with what God has called me to do. And my lovely daughter-in-law, Martha, who has come to support me. I love you. And she's a woman of God. And I bless her and I thank God for her. So now you can stand on your feet. You can stand on your feet, please. Today my scripture will be coming from Isaiah 40, verses 27 to 31. That's Isaiah 40. Verses 27 to 31. Hallelujah. I'll give you a minute. Still hear some pages turning. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now the word of God says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Amen. The title of my sermon today is, "Lord, how long shall I wait?" As we go before the Lord, "Lord, how long shall I wait?" Heavenly Father, I just come before you this morning, Lord Father God, giving you glory, honor, and praise. Thanking you, Lord Father God, for what you have done in my life, for bringing me to this moment, Lord Father God, for allowing me to come before your people, Lord Father God, and to just share what you have given to me to share with them. Lord Father God, that I may step out of the way so that you can step in. Lord Father God, that everything that comes forth is you. Lord Father God, I just thank you for everyone that is here and that hears this word, Lord Father God, that it may touch at least one person, Lord Father God. I pray this in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Lord, how long shall I wait? There are times in our lives when we feel like we could take in a beating, that we are facing troubles that we think no one can relate to. We may feel like our world is crashing in on us, and that everywhere we turn, we feel trapped and we see no way out. Hallelujah. We just can't seem to understand what is happening in our lives. We just don't understand. We can't grasp the reality of our situations. Yet, there are those who say that life is great, life is beautiful, life is wonderful. Those who see life through rose-colored glasses. And yes, life can be that way at times. Yes, it can. But the reality is that trouble will come. We will have trouble. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 16:33, that in this world you will have trouble. And yes, these troubles and storms can be overwhelming. We can feel like we're never going to survive and make it through it. And in those times, we may feel like God has forgotten about us and has abandoned us. We may even say to ourselves, God, where are you? Or God, you're nowhere in sight. And in those moments, we cry out, God, I need you. Where are you? We ask God, why am I going through this? What did I do? What did I do? And when we don't get an answer from God, right away, we think that God has forgotten about us. We turn to God and we ask, how long, Lord, how long shall I wait? And there's no simple solution or answers to these troubles. As people of God, we say we love the Lord, but we still have trouble. We say we trust the Lord, but we still have trouble. We say we have the power of the Holy Ghost, but we still have trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we still have troubles. So because we are facing these troubles, we can grow weak and weary. We can feel drained, and we can question whether we can go on or if we even want to go on because it's just so overwhelming at times. We have no desire to wait on the deliverance from God. You know, can someone relate to that? Can someone ever remember a time when you were going through something, when you felt abandoned, forgotten? Come on. I have plenty of times. Hallelujah. 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 We think that because we get tired and we want to quit, we figure that God does the same thing. That God gets tired. But we figure wrong. But those are the times when we have to wait on the Lord. We have to wait on the Lord. But also we must learn that we cannot hurry God. We cannot hurry God. We must learn to wait on God sometimes. We will ask God, why must I wait? We hear people say all the time that God is a right now God. Don't we hear that? Have you heard that plenty of times? You know? But we see throughout the Bible that God at times works slowly, very slowly. We focus on the passing of time. But God focuses on purpose. Amen. Amen. We cry out, how long, O God? And God says, allow me to work my purpose in your life. In other words, he's telling us, hold on, wait a minute. You know, what's your rush? Hold on. We know it's hard, but hold on. And this can be very hard for us, okay? Because we live in a time where we can get answers at the click of a button on our computers and our iPads. That if we want an answer, we can just go on the computer. And we think that we can work God like we do our computers. That we can ask him a question like we do Google, and 1, 2, 3, God will give us the answer. Like my grandson would tell me, Google it, Grandma. Google it, Grandma. But that's not how God works. That's not how God works. We know from Scripture that hope defers make the heart sick. We can easily see how hope deferred can make the heart sick when what we want to see happen is something nice that would be a blessing to us right away. You know, give me a blessing right now, you know, so I can just, you know, be happy and keep going. But it's another thing to find ourselves worn out, stressed out, troubled in our spirit, afraid and discouraged, and what we want and what we need is for God to come and see about us. Hallelujah. See, Israel knew something about this. In Isaiah 40, we see the beginning of a change concerning the people of God. In chapter 39, we find the prophet Isaiah speaking to King Hezekiah concerning the nation of Israel going into exile at the hands of the Babylonians in the future. As we step into chapter 40, the historical setting has moved forward about 150 years. Okay? The text presupposes that Israel had gone through the Babylonian captivity. The people of Israel were crushed and they were bruised. They were depleted. They were worn out. They were weary and they were worn. They had to travel from Babylon to Jerusalem, which is a trip of about 900 miles. So not only are they bruised, they're beaten, they're depleted, and now they got to head back to Jerusalem 900 miles. Mm. What was God's mindset towards his people? Take a look at the first verse of chapter 40. And it says, "Comfort, comfort my people." See, God is a God of comfort. He comforts us. When he sees that his children are distressed, he naturally wants to comfort them. He wants to care for them, and he wants to provide for them. But get this. Look at verse 2. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Hallelujah. And don't miss this. Israel was in bad shape because of their own doing. Okay? Because of their own doing. In other words, they brought the trouble onto themselves. Yet, God wanted them to be comforted and to be spoken tenderly to. Come on. What a loving God we serve. What a gracious God we serve, and what a merciful God we serve. Hallelujah. So if God wants to comfort you when the struggle and the problems of your life are as a direct result of your sin, of my sin, then you can bet that God wants to comfort you in those moments when you are in a situation that was not of your control, that had nothing to do with you, that was not your fault. He will comfort you in those times when you face the horrors of life and you say that life is just not fair. Life is just not fair. Hallelujah. And when you find yourself feeling weak and weary. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But even when you feel as though you are weary and weak, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. When you wait on the Lord, you are taking the attitude that it's too early to throw in the towel and that it's too soon to quit. Hallelujah. 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 When you wait on the Lord, you declare that you still believe that God will bring you out of your circumstances. Because when you wait on the Lord, you proclaim that you still believe in the power of God. When you wait on the Lord, you assert, "I will wait until my change comes. I will not be moved until my change comes." Hallelujah. We must remember that God does not faint or get weary. So it is a blessing when you take the position that you will wait on the Lord. But how will we wait on the Lord? How do we do that? We have to calm our spirit and wait reflectively, okay? Many times we become so overwhelmed by our present situation and struggle that we lose sight of who God is and what he has already done for us. You can see this in the life of the prophet Elijah. Elijah had enough courage and faith to stand before 450 prophets on Mount Carmel. And he watched God pour down fire from heaven. He saw the power of God. But Elijah forgot all about what God did on Mount Carmel when trouble came by the name of Jezebel. Amen. when Jezebel sent word that she was going to kill Elijah, he became so overwhelmed with fear that he ran for his life, became depressed, and then asked God to kill him. He wasn't even going to wait for Jezebel. My God, my God. My God, my God. But though Elijah ran at the sight of trouble, let's wait. Let's wait reflectively. Replay those times in your mind when God gave you strength for your weakness. Hallelujah. Replay those situations when God provided when you did not have, when you were broke, when you didn't have a job, when you didn't have a place to live, when you did not have, he provided. Remember those times when God gave you your health back when you were sick. Give thought to the times that God turned your mourning into dancing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There is so much more that can be said. Now let's go a little further. Tell yourself your own story and then conclude that he didn't bring me through that, not to bring me through this. Hallelujah. You know, we have to wait reflectively, reflecting on the redemptive names of God. Who is he? He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He's Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there, because he's always with us. And he's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of our peace. He gives us that peace that we need while we're waiting on the Lord. So after waiting reflectively, we understand who God is and what he has done, we begin to wait expectantly. You know, we have that expectation, you know. For God to do, we wait expectantly for God to come and do it again. Don't wait passively, simply biding your time, just sitting there, you know, waiting, letting time go by. No, wait with a spirit of expectation. You know, some people resign themselves to the fact that things are never going to change. This is the way my life is. I'm just going to deal with it. No, 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 no. That's not what we're to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But that is not the attitude we should have. See, God is a change agent. And what we need to do is expect that God is going to come and see about us. He comes. He's going to come. We can't allow the situation to stifle our expectation that God at some point will come to see about us. Therein lies the problem. God will come at some point. But we want God to come right now. He may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. Is he right on time? He's a right on time God. You can trust and believe that it is not if he will come, but when he will come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because he will come. And though he tarry, wait for him. Wait for the Lord, because he will come. So along with waiting expectantly, we can wait joyfully. Joyfully. Do you understand that there is a difference between happiness and joy? Hallelujah. Happiness is about the external things in our lives. The people, the places, the things, the thoughts, the events. Hallelujah. Those external things in our lives. But joy is different. We can have joy when you are in Christ Jesus. You can have joy. And this joy is an inside job. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. 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 I'm talking about joy unspeakable, full of glory. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. So when we wait joyfully, we are at peace with God's pace and his timing. And even though we say, but I'm still in the battle, Don't wait for the battle is over. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the victory. Say, thank you. For we know that in the end, we are going to win. We know that God has our back. So how can we lose? He will come to see about us. Think about the life of Joseph and everything that he went through. His brothers hated him and wanted to kill him. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused, and he was thrown into prison. That brother had troubles, okay? He had a lot of troubles. He had troubles. Hallelujah. But we see that the Lord restored Joseph, and he put him in charge of all of Egypt. He became the Pharaoh's right-hand man. Talk about being restored. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Joseph's attitude was that he believed that everything that was done to harm and to destroy him was turned for the good, to accomplish God's plan and purpose, which was to preserve their lives, to save Egypt, and to begin the way, the beginning of the nation of Israel, preparing the way. So we see that God is a sovereign God. So wait on the Lord, because he will come and he will answer you. He will see about you. And even though I've said all these things, we still find ourselves standing in the middle of verse 27. Notice the cry and the concerns of the people. And the Lord said, Why do you say, O Lord, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. The people of Israel were in such a fog that they thought that God had turned his back on them, and that God had forgotten all about them, that God was not coming to see about them the way they thought he should. And sometimes God doesn't come the way we want him to come. He comes the way he needs to come. Amen. And don't we feel like that at times when we struggle and we pray and we fast and we're calling on the name of the Lord and we're wondering, where is my God? We say, how long, O Lord, will you forget about us? Or will you forget about me? But notice the awesome response of God to his people in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? The ends of the earth. Amen. Neither faint nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. In other words, God is saying, don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I can do? Don't you know that my power and my might and my strength? I am the Almighty God. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Nothing comes before me and nothing comes after me. Notice a progression. Because God is who he is, he does what he does. Let's look at verse 29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. So have you ever been there? Felt like you're at the end of your rope. We can find ourselves there sometimes. You know, you feel like you're at the end of your strength and at the end of your might. And it seems like your life is categorized by nothing but weakness. That you don't have the strength to go on, to move, to do nothing. And that is when God steps in. That is when he comes. When you're at your weakest. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. And even when you think that you have what you need, there will come a time when you will come to the end of yourself and notice, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think that we will never run out of resources. Like we're never gonna, you know, we're going to always be able to get through, we're going to have what we need all the time. But a time will come when we do. But what happens? But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, O Lord, how to wait. Teach me, O Lord, how to wait. So my brothers and sisters, in those moments that you feel weary and worn, wait on the Lord. Know that you can hope on the Lord to renew your strength and to give you power to see you through your struggles. And because of the hope in the Lord, you can soar on wings like eagles. You can run and not grow weary. You can walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let's wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But how long shall I wait? I will wait until he comes for me. Amen. Thank you.